Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Can you believe it, Matt? Week 6 of the NFL season kicks off
just
tonight.
We just opened our show. What time is it?
It's a little late.
We're a little late.
It's a little late. It's sad for our listeners.
We're just drawing attention to it. We're not complaining about it, though. But yes, it is week 6.
Week 6.
And it opens tonight.
Tonight, Saints. And, of course, the undefeated Atlanta Falcons, who have snatched victory from the jaws of defeat, quite unlike anything I've seen before. They were down double digits in the fourth quarter in the game against Dallas. They were down late against the Giants. They were down late against Philadelphia. They were down late facing fourth in the game against the Washington Redskins, and they have come through every single time they open week 6 tonight against, of course, the New Orleans Saints. Now, we have got a big show for you today. It is Coordinator Thursday, so 1:30, defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill, 2 o'clock, offensive coordinator John DeFilippo. We will get into the position breakdowns, comparing the Broncos and the Browns across all the positions on offense, defense, and, of course, special teams. We'll take your phone calls, 216-578-0850, and we are efforting, as I hear often in this building, in this business, we're efforting a guest from the Denver Broncos, Jason Gibbs, hard at work on that. Matt,
we'll
I want to talk quickly about baseball, but very quickly.
Go ahead.
Did you see anything? I'm sure, have you seen the highlights of last night?
I have.
Joey Bats. I mean, I absolutely loved it. I love the bat flip, and I love the guy on Kansas City, or not on Kansas City, the pitcher on the on Texas crying about it that he should show more respect to the game. That game is not emotional at all. Baseball seems so slow and so boring. When somebody in a clutch moment who's been waiting for this moment for his whole life comes through and shows a little emotion, I applaud it. I think if you can hit a baseball moving 90, 95 miles an hour and you can hit it over the fence, I think you should have a minute to do whatever you want. The guy flipped the bat for a second. Get over it cry. He's out of respect the game. How about just do your job and don't let him hit a home run and then he has nothing to say.
And those same sentiments came from Rick Sutcliffe, you know, one of the ESPN Major League Baseball analysts as well. He says, back in his day, not sure a guy like him would have made it around the bases, but in today's world, when everything is entertainment-based and entertainment-driven, and the cost to get in baseball games like that is all to see your team perform and be entertained, I thought it was amazing. Just the swag, the stare, the launch of the bat, and the slow walk into the trot around the bases was awesome.
It was awesome. It was great.
How was that not great? And what's cool is I watched it multiple times, and it's like I watched him first, and then I watched the bat second, and then I stare through him, and I look at the crowd.
Look at the bench.
And their reaction to, like, you know, everyone hunched over, like, on this pitch, and then just go to, like, straight arms. It's like everyone said touchdown all at the same time, and the place exploded. The bench exploded.
They were all out of the bench. They were all on the sidelines jumping up and down. It was great.
It was a great moment.
In fact, in my watching the replay of his home run and the bat flip, if you add up all the time that I spent watching that, that's more time than I spent watching baseball the rest of the year combined.
And you bring up a great point. Okay, at this point in time, I haven't watched more than an inning of the Cleveland Indians all season long, 162 games, right? And I'll claim that. And we've had this baseball discussion before. I have not watched one single inning, actually not one pitch, of the playoffs, right? But I watched that replay, and as a non-fan of the sport of baseball on the major league level, that would make me turn on a snippet of the ALCS series. So if anything, that moment is good for the sport of baseball.
Absolutely. The guy crying. It's like, you know, I hate the fact that in football you get fined for, you know, you get a penalty and then a fine for celebrations and taunting.
And I don't know it depends what celebration is. Can't do it with a teammate. Can't go to the ground.
Okay. These guys, you guys, I'll say you since you played the game, okay, literally put your life, your well-being, your future physical well-being, your cognitive well-being on the line, and you're compensated handsomely for it. I get that. every single time that you put on a helmet and go out there and play football. If you score a touchdown, which we know is what the entire game is about, you should be able to do whatever you want. I say put a shot clock on it. You got a minute.
No,
get creative.
Way.
Whatever
a
you
minute?
Want. A minute. I'll give them
no,
a minute.
You need 10 seconds.
You can have choreographed. It can be with your teammate. It can be with anybody. You should be able to do whatever you want. If you want to bring, if you score and you say, that girl right there is nice looking in the stands, or hey, there's my boy that I grew up with in the stands. Boom. Bring him into the end zone. Let's
no.
all celebrate.
Yeah,
whatever
yeah,
you want.
Are off your rocker
whatever
going that
want.
Far. I get to celebrate. And that's my whole point. When it comes to something like this, is now you took it over, you know, over the line. But my whole point is, I know you're trying to monetize this business. I know you're trying to stabilize this business for longevity. But when someone does score a touchdown, okay, and whether and if you know this individual is creative when scoring touchdowns with some type of celebration, as a football fan, even though this touchdown may have happened against your team, are you still not looking at the television to see what this guy is going to do?
Absolutely.
And then soon thereafter, what happens? An extra point. And after the extra point, what happens? 3 minutes of commercials. Are you still not tuning in to see those things? You absolutely are.
Yes. As Johnson Nation says, T.O.'s prop celebrations were the best. Absolutely.
Joe Horn,
yes. I'm surprised somebody, and I wonder if you would get a penalty for this. This is what I would do. This is how I would try to get around the rules. You tell me if I'm going to be successful. Maybe not. Maybe it's a prop or whatever. But what I would do is I would write on my gloves a website address. And so when I score, I'd show the website address. And on the website address, I'd have filmed an awesome celebration.
Like a dozen for the year.
Yeah, like an awesome TD dance, like whatever. And it could be, maybe it could be opponent specific, like, you know, maybe I like.
You could backslash one, like, so it's your first celebration, backslash
right.
two for your second celebration.
Maybe okay. I like do the worm and then drop an elbow on the Denver Bronco mascot or something. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that would be good, right? They can't stop you from doing
good,
that, can they?
But illegal.
Could they stop you from that?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Now you can't. I mean, forgot Ironhead Hayward's Cam Hayward got fined for having Ironhead on the eye black. In reference to his father who died
away,
of cancer.
Which is absurd. That's what I'm talking about.
And D'Angelo Williams now has to dye his hair pink outside of the month of October to pay homage to his mother who died of cancer as
breast cancer. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, come on. Get it together. I'm serious, though. When I saw that, think about it. I went out of my way to turn SportsCenter around when I got this morning because I wanted to see the Joey Batsing. I wanted to hear the commentary about it. I wanted to see everything about it. Imagine if you could come on. You know, we all watch. We can't get enough of the NFL, but a lot of the talk of the NFL is like 8 million hours on Deflategate. What if it was on the best touchdown celebrations? I'd watch show on the best touchdown celebrations. I would love to see him counted down every week. It would be great.
Why is sports science so cool? Because when an athlete does something amazing, to learn more about what makes it so amazing in regards to, you know, anatomy and miles per hour and trajectory and things of that sort, you're just drawn to it. You want to learn. You want to understand. You
right.
want more from this game because you're putting in your time as a fan of football. And in some cases, you're spending money to go to these football games. Anything you can do to get your fix, and I feel like the celebration has been taken away from these guys.
I couldn't agree more. Like, Let's have some fun.
If they want to differentiate everybody, why not pay everybody the same? And have everybody have short hair and have a fresh shave and wear the same number and, you know, let's have them all be. No, that's the way you differentiate yourself. If I score my one touchdown a year, let me do what I want to do. Gronkowski scores 17. You know what you're getting when he scores every 17, the Gronk spike.
Absolutely. We got Gary Barnes waiting to hit the heartbreak kid's Shawn Michaels pose, but he's such a pro, he needs to be
gotta ahead. Gotta be ahead,
he needs all this. There can't be any controversy, you know, whatever.
And I love that.
I do too, but I'm just saying. Now, the funny thing is my father, anything other than literally handing the ball to the referee drives my dad crazy. Pedro's like, act like you've been there. I'm like, Dad, these guys are literally risking everything. You see all these non-contact injuries. Now Jamal Charleston get touched, and all of a sudden his ACL is done, his season's over.
You're not guaranteed
over.
To ever get back.
Right. If I get in the end zone, I'm going bananas. I don't care if I get cut. If somehow I find my way, if there's a contest that I can win, because that's the only way it's going to happen, you know, but where I can play and score a touchdown in a preseason game, I'm going absolutely bananas.
How much would you donate to the Cleveland Browns Foundation to be able to, like, run on the field and celebrate a Browns touchdown?
Nothing. I'm close enough on the sideline. Okay. I do plenty of celebrations.
Not on camera, though.
I've been on camera.
Sure, but indirectly.
Yeah, indirectly. Not that game against Atlanta. I was practically on the field of play for the Crows' second touchdown of the game. Caw-caw! I'm just saying. Like, you couldn't put a price tag on me taking a series at quarterback in a preseason game. Couldn't put a price tag on it.
I don't know. Yeah, people's eyes would be burning.
I can sling the pill.
So can thousands of people sitting on a couch.
That's fine. I'm sure that they also would pay whatever to have that opportunity. Okay. I'd get hit and I'd probably get broken. And that's okay.
Like Johnny Knoxville.
But if I happened, and listen, John DeFilippo knows coverages better than anybody. The guy dials up his shot plays. I'm going to say, let's go. You know what's coming. Dial up a shot play. They're playing vanilla. You know, they're playing nothing but cover two. Give me a cover two beater. I'll throw that corner route. I got no problem with that. We'll go the hitch on the outside, the corner route, boom, right in the gap, huzz down. I'll dance. I'll moonwalk all around First Energy Stadium. I don't even know what my touchdown celebration would be. I feel like I'd have to involve, like, I feel like I'd have to bring, like, a lady into it.
Is that an Ohio Business Machine hot topic?
It is. What would your, if you, in the weird, the bizarre world where insurance doesn't matter and you're able to just go play in a preseason game for just because you want to, really what this is all about celebrating. It's all about celebration. I just think that you should be allowed to celebrate.
And whose celebration do you like best? That could be a hot topic.
I think T.O.'s was the best. I think T.O. was consistently the best. Randy Moss's moon one was a classic.
Which, the popcorn one with T.O.?
Popcorn. I liked when he mocked Ray Lewis, and then Ray Lewis went bananas.
On the star?
No, the star was against, that was against, that was as a 49er.
Niner against Dallas.
And then, I can't remember who went and just laid the wood to him, but somebody crushed him.
Was it Darren Woodson? No.
No. I'll have to look it up. Who's the safety who went to the high school? Was it Roy Williams?
Could be. 31, uh-huh. From Oklahoma.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. From the Bay Area. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And yes, for the Scotty Monaco, who was saying that I couldn't even do the worm if I wanted to, you're wrong. And he also dubs himself the moonwalk guy. He is the best moonwalker I've ever seen, Scotty Monaco.
Besides Michael?
No. Unfortunately, Michael's
He moonwalks not. Better than the person who created the moonwalk.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
So you're saying that, like, the person who invented the car made the best car? No.
Has anyone ever in the history of dunking in the NBA been able to replicate Jordan's from the free throw line?
Yeah.
No way!
Tons of people can do that now.
They can do it, but it's not the same.
Oh, no, it's not
the same. He can try and moonwalk and say, hey, look at me moonwalking, but it's not the moonwalk.
I'm going to get you. I have videos of it. I'll get you a video. We'll get your opinion.
I'll pass.
Scotty Monaco, also known as DJ Audacity. Bodie on the corner chimes in saying, yes, indeed it was Roy Williams.
There you go.
Did you ever do a touchdown celebration?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
I dunked it over the goalpost. San Diego preseason game.
All right. So who invented that? Tony Gonzalez?
Yeah. I would say. I think. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's who I was watching to know that I wanted to do it.
Yeah. Hopefully. Not against the Chargers, of course.
He had a couple against the Chargers.
He may have had a few. He's one of the best ever.
He is one of the best
ever. Okay, fine.
I got to pick off Trent Green on a pass intended for Tony Gonzalez.
Did you now?
Absolutely. My first career interception in the National Football League.
So you get that interception. Are you talking trash? Are you like Tony Gonzalez? Don't bring that stuff around here, Tony Gonzalez.
No.
How do you look so young?
I was ecstatic.
Did you throw that out?
And what happened is it was a great break, great read, and I just dive in front of it, and my helmet like went into the ground, and so my body kind of like rolled up on top of my head, and I had the opportunity to potentially get up and run, but like I was in this like awkward position that I couldn't, and then I just got tagged down before I could get up off the ground.
By the way, now multiple people have chimed and said it was George Teague. The name George Selvey popped into my mind, but I knew it wasn't him. George Teague is who hit Terrell Owens. Bodie on the corner, we've got a conflict.
Yes, we do.
I think George Teague sounds right. It wasn't Roy Williams.
Yep.
Gotta love it. Got to love it. All right, when we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. Again, 1:30, Jim O'Neill, 1:45, the offensive breakdown. 2 o'clock, offensive coordinator John DeFilippo, 2:15, the defensive and special team side of the ball broken down as well. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Zagur, and Wilhelm. It's a celebration.